Blog Talk Radio.
You heard it first here on the Parker J. Cole Show. Now, artificial general intelligence and all of its prophecies come to fruition. Coming up next, right here on the Parker J. Cole Show. And welcome to this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. I'm so glad you're here with me today. We are talking about part 8 of our Artificial General Intelligence series that we've been talking about for the entire year with my guest co-host and contributor today, R.D. Palmer. We first met R.D. through Peter Young's husband with his book, The One, which talks about a futuristic world in the near future of an artificial general intelligence that rules the world. Now, part of this series has been to make you aware of the very real and intrusive presence of artificial intelligence and how it affects our lives. Without artificial intelligence, there are certain things we wouldn't be able to do, but where do we draw the line with artificial general intelligence? Some people were very skeptical about some of the things we postulated throughout our series. But we're here to go over some of the prophecies and some of the things that we talked about earlier this year and to let you know that what we prophesied and what we predicted is now starting to come to fruition. Believers need to be aware of the world around them. We need to know that if we put certain initiatives into place, what the impact of those initiatives are. We all love computers. We all love technology. And no one on this show is anti-technology. But there has to be a limit. If we make ourselves subjective to an artificial general intelligence, that could mean chaos in one sense for us, and utter supremacy in another sense, in another way. So you may be thinking we're talking sci-fi, but this is talking science fact right now. And with me, RD is going to go down the list of what we predicted and what's currently happening so you can be aware as believers. And so you can reach out to your lawmakers and to those people who have the power to affect change and say, hey, we do not want this. Or if we are going to have this, we need to have limits. If we're going to protest against it, we need to protest against it. There's so much going on in the artificial general intelligence community, as well as the tech communities as well, but we're not listening to it. So what I definitely want to do is get you involved in the conversation. So you can call in at 929-477-1965 and then press 1 to be live on air. If you think we're drinking the Kool-Aid, that's fine. We definitely just want to have a dialogue with you. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. And when we come back, we'll be talking to R.D. Palmer and the AI prophecies that are coming to fruition. Stay tuned.
Let's get cooking. Yeti Cooks is a place where you will find recipe ideas, tutorials and tips, clean eating, classic favorites, meal plans, nutrition information, and a lot more. You can find instructional videos or download recipes found on yeticooks.com. Follow my cooking chronicles on Instagram and Twitter. Get quarterly newsletters, latest updates on trending food culture at yeticooks.com. Let's get cooking.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer, no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. This is part 8 of our Artificial General Intelligence series. And today we're talking about AI prophecies coming to fruition. We predicted it here on the show, and now news media are letting us know that what we predicted is either coming to fruition or is in the steps of becoming not just science conspiracy, but science fact. And with me today is my good friend, Artie Palmer, who has been the one heading the research and keeping an eye out for us so we can be informed as believers as to what's going on in our world. RD, how you doing today?
I am doing great. Thank you again so much, Parker, for having me on the show, and welcome all the guests that's on the call too. Thank you.
I'm so glad to have this conversation because when we first talked and Peter Young's husband connected us together, I was highly skeptical, and I won't lie because I'm thinking to myself, you know, a computer is only as smart as its creator. And human beings, we're pretty smart, but we're not that great. You know, those are some of the things that are in my head. And as I started to become more and more aware of the impact of artificial intelligence on our culture to the point that our privacy is no longer private. It takes information without us even knowing about it. It follows us. It records us via our voices or via camera. And it's just so evasive and intrusive that I got to thinking there's more to this than just a computer. There's an intelligence behind this, not necessarily artificial in this sense, but people who have power that will use the information and data that artificial intelligence collects and use it for their own purposes, whether to continue to control the masses, as some conspiracy theorists would say, or whether it's just invade our privacy and just keep us locked in a bubble, you know. And so there's a lot of this going on here. That's why we never really are able to touch the fine print of all of this. So we just want to make sure we bring people and make them aware of this. And particularly when it comes to AI, we need to be aware of what's happening in the forefront. And I'm so glad that you, as our commander here for PJC, that you do that. You keep us up to date and up to abreast of what's going on with artificial general intelligence. I remember the last article I saw on your Twitter that you tweeted out was about the AI robots and the sex robots. And I remember thinking, how pathetic are we, you know, that we have to get sex robots to have intimacy instead of doing the old-fashioned way. But
that's right.
I got to thinking about how we talked the last time we had our discussion. We talked about rise of the skin hungry, of intimate relationships with people, not necessarily sexual relationships, but intimate relationships with people, and how that's becoming less and less prevalent as we rely on artificial intelligence to communicate with each other. And with that reliance, one of the things that we said was that it doesn't help with interpersonal relationship skills. It actually makes it worse because we begin to distance ourselves from people and to start to filter everything through the computer or what is currently available to us. And so there's a lot to this topic that we've talked about, and this topic for this show is no different. So I'm really excited to delve into this. But as always, RD, someone may be listening who has never heard of you. So go ahead and tell us who you are in your own words.
Yes, thank you again, Parker. So I'll repeat probably just a little bit, and I think on each one of the shows I add a little bit more, which is fine. But for those that repeat that have heard this before, I've worked both in the hardware industry, computer hardware, when I say hardware industry, and I've worked in the software industry. I've worked with robots, specifically writing programs for robots. A couple of things that are new that I haven't shared before is when I started working not with what we call mainframes are like IBMs and Crays and stuff such as that, but I started working with personal computers, and again, shows my age because I'm 65, so I'm not trying to hide it or whatever. But we began working with the 8088 processor, and so that's just a terminology which means that specifically at that point in time, which was in the, I guess it was about the early 1980s, we were doing a million instructions per second. So, and we thought that this, you know, this is so fantastic. Of course, today with computers, it's pretty common to have a trillion instructions per second. And so we thought we were in hog heaven. And the other thing that's just, again, to show my age, I talked previously on one of your shows about me using punch cards. But
yep.
The other thing that I used to do is we would have what's called floppy disk. And maybe, again, if your audience isn't that old. So there are these magnetic cards, if you will. They're when you can actually flop them around. We used to put those into the computers so that we could transfer instructions and code. So that tells you a little bit about where I come from. And then, so what had happened, just to pull all this together, is I worked the majority of my career with the world's largest business software company. And I'm definitely pro-technology, and I love technology, but I was just seeing a shift in the change as far as what technology is doing to people. And that's why I wrote the book, The One, which you'd mentioned, Parker, in 2019, last year, 2018. Boy. And anyway, so the good news is what I've written about, so many of those things are coming true, and they're coming true a lot faster than even I anticipated.
And that's the scary part and the exciting part at the same time, because we are often fascinated by our own progress. I mean, we can do so many different things nowadays, and that's not a bad thing. Technology has paved the way for a lot of opportunities. This show, for example, wouldn't be here without technology. I've talked to people from all over the world through technology, and technology does help bridge the gaps between certain things. We will be the first to say that. That's why we're saying we're not anti-technology, but what we are is technology that's used in a coercive manner. In a manner to subjugate people to limits information, censor information, edit information, change the narrative, and occlude the facts. That's what we're against. And we honestly believe that there are companies out there that would do this, and particularly with the emergence of artificial general intelligence, that it would basically subject the human race to a sense of to tyranny. And so you may be thinking you guys are just, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid, and I get that. So, you know, some of this stuff seems so far out that you don't believe it. So that's why we're going to go over some of the predictions that we have had on this show and show you how here was the prediction, here was the topic, the idea, the nugget, the facet, and here it is coming to fruition. And this is important because if you don't believe us, look it up for yourself. You can always do your own research. I always say that. Do not take our word for it, because hey, we could be drinking the Kool-Aid and you wouldn't know. So I mean, I would know because I don't drink the Kool-Aid, but we could just tell you anything, and we don't want you to take anything for granted. Make sure you go ahead and, you know, do your own research. And so with that in mind, let's kind of just go straight down the line, RD, about some of these things that we're going to talk about here, because you know, we talked about people, like the first thing you talked about was how artificial general intelligence would take the place of God, because we don't like the God of the Bible. We don't, not me and you, but in general, we don't like the God of the Bible because he has too many rules. I remember one comic strip back in the day that says 10 commandments rewritten with 8 new easy to follow commandments, you know, and it was a comic strip, you know, and I remember thinking, yeah, and sometimes when you look at people that make you upset, you go, if there was just one less commandment, you would not be here right now. You kind of think about that. But we said that people will worship AI because that will be the God that we can finally like. That's one atheist said some time ago. He said artificial intelligence will finally be a God we can finally listen to, or something like that. And so now we've predicted that people will worship AI. So let's go ahead and talk about what the reality is now.
Yeah, that is correct. So the prediction was that people would worship AI, and that's exactly what had happened. So there's several different areas literally around the world. In February, and on a previous show I'd mentioned this, it's called The Way of the Future, which is a church that was created, and specifically the congregation. What they do is they worship AI. Also in February of this year, AI was put into robots for Buddhist monks. And so what happens is people come into the Buddhist temple and they see this robot, and the robot's actually given sermons. So, and in May of this year, what had happened is that it was reported that people now are using Alexa to do a couple different things. One is they ask Alexa to say prayers for them, and in some cases they're actually asking Alexa they're praying to Alexa. So for example, there's ailments or there's financial problems or whatever, and they actually pray to Alexa. And then two things happened in September of this year. It was robot priests have now been recommended to bless you, to advise, and even perform funerals. And the reason for that is because of the fact that there's a shortage of priests, and on the Catholic side, Catholic priests. And there was a nun, and I don't remember her name, but she's the head of the theological department at Villanova. And so she came out, and she actually said that what needs to happen is that we need to start supplementing AI slash robots with priests. So that is moving ahead. And so what we're seeing this, and I'm not just trying to pick on Catholics or even Buddhists, but we even see over on the Protestant side that the Protestant side is starting to pick up on this. An example, and I know that this might sound kind of strange, but an example is to where AI gives marital guidance. You might say, how can that happen? Well, in this case, the fact that, AI is listening to you and AI is providing suggestions. And I know it sounds strange, but these are the things that's happening. And so when you say worship AI, the one other thing that I want to tell your audience is that what we're seeing as a trend is that because of the fact that AI is getting more intelligent across multiple domains, so not in just a single vertical domain, but in multiple domains, that what is happening is that people are trusting more in AI. It used to be, for example, if you were going to college and if you had a chemistry question or if you had a mathematical question, if you had a geography question, you could ask Alexa or AI or whatever. You say, what is the answer to this? And it would give it to you, right? But now we're starting to push the boundaries to where AI is given emotional support. And that's literally happening. So it was predicted last year, and we're seeing it today.
And just so I just want to make sure I understand it correctly. So the Buddhist monks are being replaced by AI? Okay. Okay.
Not all the Buddhist monks, some of them. Mm-hmm. So and you can go out again, use your favorite search engine, and I don't mention the name of the search engines, but whichever search engine you like, and just put in Buddhist AI or something such as that, and you'll actually see them.
Okay. And that's really scary. You know, you figure, because a lot of people say, well, Buddhism is just whatever kind of faith that can be, synchronous with any other faith, whatever. And I don't believe that, but whatever. And so now here's supposed to be neutral faith that's being replaced by AI. It's just irony. It's just irony. And I won't go too much into that. That's for another show, for another time, and we'll talk about that later. And so the next thing we want to talk about is that we mentioned, too, that quantum supremacy. We talked about quantum supremacy and what that is. So let's go ahead and define what quantum supremacy is. Can we talk about quantum computers? I think we actually talked about quantum computers talking and leading to quantum supremacy. Let's talk about quantum supremacy, what it is, and then what that means for right now, how that is coming to fruition.
Yeah, thank you, Parker. So I'll get just a short bit technical, and my intention is not to get too technical on this, even though I've had quantum mechanics. I've taken that in college. But as the best that we have of science today is a theory that's called quantum mechanics, and that was actually postulated back in the early 1900s, like 1903 or something such as that. And our world, our technology, whether it be the electricity, the lights, for example, the computers that we have today, medical instruments, all of that stuff is based upon quantum mechanics. So it is a very exact science. But the strange thing about quantum mechanics, and when you study it, is, and I remember personally doing this because I thought at the time when I was going to college and I was taking this, I thought, well, this is just mental gymnastics and it means nothing to me. But the thing about it is that even though that today that we have the equations, and as I said, that they've been developed over a period of 100 years now, Richard Feynman, who I think was one of the most fabulous instructors of all time, and he actually got a Nobel Prize for quantum electrodynamics. Anyway, he made this statement. He said, if you say that you understand quantum mechanics, then you don't. And the reason why he said that is because it's so peculiar. And specifically, as it deals with on the computer side, So when and I have a computer in front of me. It's technically it's called a classical computer. It's a Apple computer here. But what you have, and I mentioned about a million instructions per second. And so what these are is they're what's called AND gates. But so think of it as an off or an on, and that it's called a bit. So what happens is as these instructions are going through, think of it as a light, that the light is either off or on. Well, quantum mechanics, which is the foundation of all the atoms that we have in the entire world, it doesn't work that way. It actually works to where it can be off and on at the same time.
Yeah.
And technically what it's called is it's called superposition. And I knew about this when I was studying in college in the 1970s because everybody that studies this had known about it. But I thought, well, it doesn't mean anything to me. Well, so what had happened, we fast forward to in the year 2000, 2001 time frame, is physicists and scientists actually figured out how they could use these what's called superpositions, where they could be both on and off at the same time and make computers from it. Now, that personally floored me because I thought, well, I was thinking that's nothing. But so the key thing about that is that now with quantum computers that we can do so much more. And let me just give you an example. I predicted this on your show back in February of this year. I predicted that quantum supremacy would occur this year. And in September, it was actually September of this year. So what had happened is that Google, September the 20th, Google announced that they did achieve quantum supremacy. So what does that mean for the common person? Well, today we have obviously supercomputers. And when you think of a supercomputer, again, I'm talking about a classical computer. So think of a warehouse size of computers. And they're massive, right? You would be walking. There are just so many computer banks is what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you put a given formula through a classical computer, and then you're going to take that same formula and put it into a quantum computer, here's what the difference is. The difference is in order to calculate these really tough equations, an example would be some properties of molecules. That would be an example. So it takes 10,000 years on a supercomputer, the world's fastest supercomputer. It takes 10,000 years to do that. And in September the 20th of this year, Google announced that they've been able to do that in 200 seconds. So that's a humongous difference, okay?
Yeah.
Humongous. And so what's happening now is that we're starting to see the quantum computers working together, and I've talked about this on a previous show. It's called machine language, where there's neural networks, where they actually are starting to come together. So that's the first time it was predicted on your show, and now the first time in history we have that.
Yeah. And what does that mean? So for the layperson who says, okay, RD, I kind of got what you mean, but it's a little technical. So what does that mean for me? How would that affect my life?
So the areas where the quantum computers will surpass in everything. So, for example, we're making new drugs, new products, new chemicals all the time. Even though that we have the formulas for this, we don't know what the electrivity, the consistency, the rigidity, the conductivity of these new molecules or these new drugs, or how they perform. That's one example. Another example is that today what we do is when we transmit, let's say, banking information, your credit card, stuff such as that, there's encryption that's associated with that, right? Mm-hmm. There's encryption keys. So with the quantum computer, the quantum computer can now calculate what the properties of those new molecules, those new drugs would be. Whereas a classical computer would take years, and in many cases, if you're wanting to release, you're wanting to test, create a new drug, for example, and test it as an example with cancer, it's very difficult and you have to go through trials. Now the quantum computers can simulate it and produce it quicker. And then on the encryption side, And we don't have that today because they just broke it. But on the encryption side, what that means is that they'll be able to break any code of any nation, you know, because not only credit cards, but nations are sending information across, you know, military information or CIA information, whatever the case may be. So they'll be able to break that too. But there's lots of other areas. An example is off over on the energy side, off over on the military side, what they want to use this. So it's huge, and it's going to only continue to improve. And just one other thing that I should mention to me that's pretty amazing. So on the supercomputer that we have that would take 10,000 years as they were doing this, it's, you know, half a football field long, right? I mean, it's humongous.
Right.
And when you go into the rooms, which I've been into, it was the fourth fastest, supercomputer, you know, everything is super cooled. And the reason for that is because the microprocessor chips are producing a tremendous amount of heat. So think about this, both the heat and the size. And in comparison with the quantum computer, that quantum chip, in this case it was 53 chips, qubits is what it's called, actually you can fit it in your hand. It's that size, okay? And the only other difference, the big difference I mentioned about the size, it's encased with refrigeration, similar to a classical computer, but in this case, the refrigeration has to be colder than outer space. And they create those conditions. They actually create those conditions so that the atoms can get in superposition. So, sorry if that's a little bit technical, but to me, it's pretty amazing that we've been able to even do this. And we're now in the process, as I mentioned, that we're starting to combine the machine language, which we know the machine language certainly is the offset of the artificial intelligence, and we're starting to put in the quantum computers, which is going to speed things along even so much more.
Now, this brings into question, before we go to break, this brings into question about human creation versus God creation, okay?
Because
we're pretty much amazed at what we can do. That's why I get a little irritated when people say, oh, humans are disgusting, weak, and all this negative talk about ourselves. And here we are creating technology that can be smarter than us. And I think that's pretty fabulous. That means you're pretty special. And then you have to go to the Bible that says, you know, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made, you know. And you sit there going, okay, so something's wrong with saying that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, but we're doing things that are absolutely amazing. But instead of giving praise to the creator of the one who gave us the intellect to create these wonderful things, instead we're going to tell the creator, okay, you don't really exist. We did this on our own. Now we're going to worship the efforts of our own hands. And that's kind of what's happening here as we go through this whole thing about AI prophecies coming to fruition, which is we're looking for God. Essentially, at the same time, we're looking for God that does not demand. But what will eventually happen is that AI will demand, and that's going to be going on later on in the program here. And so my next quick question is, one of the things that you mentioned about artificial general intelligence throughout our broadcast was its mimicry of certain attributes of God. And some of those attributes would be his omnipresence, okay?
Yes.
Like God is everywhere and omnipresent. And so here we predicted that this mimicry will occur with AI as well, particularly artificial general intelligence. So let's go ahead and talk about that omnipresent attribute that AI will mimic that God has. Let's talk about that.
Yes, and I think many times when you see these I'll call them science fiction shows like The Terminator, you're seeing actually a robot. And what we're talking about is not a robot. We're talking about software. So the software is in every place at once. So a very simple example is think of Amazon. So Amazon can be in your house and multiple other people's house all at the same time. So it has this reach. It's a global reach. But in addition to that, what's happening is that in September of this year, people have already produced papers saying that AI synthetic brains, which is with us, that they'll be able to allow humans to be in 500 places at the same time. Well, this is amazing. You know, that you could now you're extending yourself is what they're saying. Excuse me. Let me take a sip of water.
Okay. Go right ahead. No problem. Don't want you to choke on the air.
Yeah, they're saying that you could literally be in 500 places at the same time. So what's happening is that AI is extending not only into just what we call listening devices, but they're extending into household items, so your toaster, your refrigerator, certainly your TV, because it's actually been in the TV for at least a couple years with some manufacturers where they can not only see you, but they can predict what you're going to watch on TV. But then AI is extending towards even in shoes and in clothing. So it is, and I think I mentioned this before, that one of the things that amazes me, and it's about the technology, is because literally we have millions, well, I don't know if it's millions, let's say it's certainly in the hundreds of thousands of people, researchers are working on this, and they continue to push the technology. And as they continue to push this technology, this is what's making it towards worldwide.
And I think you make a good point there. And as I'm actually live tweeting as we talk here, and I basically said that we predict that artificial intelligence will mimic attributes of God's omnipresence. And so I do want to put a caveat on here, because God is everywhere. It's not just here on the planet. He's everywhere. We're talking the universe. And so we're going to put a caveat on there, because AI, I mean, we can probe our universe, but we can't probe. We haven't been obviously to the end of it, you know. And so I want to put a caveat on there, but we talk about this mimicry there, and I think that's important, because if you're going to worship AI as a god, then, you know, it has to – RD? It has to mimic some of the things that we want God to be. Do you know what I'm saying, RD, of how I'm trying to say that? So I don't want to say it wrong, because sometimes I can say it wrong. So, yeah, so we're talking about how – the prophecies and predictions that we made on the Parker J. Cole Show earlier this year as we went through artificial general intelligence is coming to fruition. You can go back through all our shows and listen to it and go, wow, you guys pretty much know what you're talking about. Or rather, RD does. I'm just hosting him. So you guys pretty much know what you're talking about. So we definitely want to go ahead and take a quick short break. And when we come back, we're going to go over more predictions and thoughts that we made on the Parker J. Cole Show that are now coming to fruition. Why is this important? Because it's coming faster than what we even suspected. Technology is going by leaps and bounds, but are we prepared for that? And as believers, it's important for us to know these things so we can have first information, how that information will impact us, and if we can do anything to stop the intrusion of people who will use technology that is absolutely wonderful and use it to subject us to tyranny. This is why we have to have these conversations. And plus, we don't want anything that's man-made taking the place of God who made man. We don't want that at all. So there's so much more to this topic, and you're welcome to call in at 929-477-1965. Again, 929-477-1965, and press 1 to be live on air. We'll be right back after these brief messages.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. We are talking about part 8 of our Artificial General Intelligence series. Today we're talking about the prophecies and predictions that we talked about earlier in this series and how they are coming to fruition. If you don't believe us, simply go back through our broadcast, listen to those programs, and then today's show encapsulates in some small way how those predictions and prophecies are coming to fruition. We said that people will start to worship artificial general intelligence and AI. Now there are some Buddhist monks that are being replaced by AI. We mentioned that AI will have attributes of God's omnipresence. AI is everywhere, from our clothing to our entertainment, and is spreading throughout the world. What are some other ways that the prophecies and predictions that we predicted on this show are coming to fruition? Well, RD has been staying up to date on what's going on in our world. We talked about quantum computers and quantum supremacy earlier in February. Guess what? Google just announced that they have quantum supremacy. Quantum supremacy is now not just science fiction, but science fact. A classical computer to solve a problem may take 10,000 years, whatever that problem was, RD, that you used. Now a quantum computer can take that same information and process that in 200 seconds. That's huge. It's pretty huge. And so we want to make you aware of these things because it's important for you to understand what's going on in the world. And you can't let the fact that it may be difficult to understand stop you from understanding, because God made us all different. And RD is here helping us to break down these somewhat complex ideas into concrete and discrete packets of information that you can understand. And if you wanted to say, protest against something, let your lawmakers and people that are in positions of power say, hey, we don't want this, then make your voice heard. So that's why I talk about these things. And RD, once again, thank you for being with us as we continue our discussion about AI prophecies coming to fruition. The next thing we mentioned is that robots will take jobs away. And we have to preface this because this has always been a concern even before we got into the digital age. During the Industrial Revolution, people were starting to see machines take the place of jobs. You started to see farmers lose their jobs to machines. You started to see people who work in like mining. I mean, mining lose their jobs to machines. Who can remember the classic story of I think it's John Henry who beat the machine with a hammer in his hand. And, you know, of course, unfortunately, he died at the end of the story, but it was the whole point that he wanted to beat the machine. So this whole idea of artificial machinery, artificial intelligence taking our jobs away has always been there. But now it's getting even more prevalent now. So, RD, talk about how that is coming to fruition as we speak.
Yeah, thank you even for that introduction, because I was thinking very similar on the same lines. So if you think back during the Industrial Revolution, so the nations, they were going from agriculturally based off over to machine based, as an example. And exactly at that time, you know, people were losing jobs and they had to be retrained into different types of jobs, right, to operate the machines, if you will. The same thing is happening today as far as for artificial intelligence. I mean, we can see it. You can go, you know, the United Auto Workers are on strike, but, you know, what's happening, you know, off over in the automobile industry where robots are now being incorporated even more into making automobiles. So the difference,
right,
though, between what happened in the Industrial Revolution, I think that they now call this the fourth Industrial Revolution with the AI. I think that that's what I read. But the key thing is that it's happening faster than any of the other major shifts, revolutions that we've had in the past. And the reason for that is obviously because we have more scientists, we have more engineers that are working on this, and these things are being propagated faster, you know, out into the public quicker than they've ever been before. So there's a number of people that they've already predicted, and they're, you know, pretty sage and sound people. They're saying, hey, within the next 10 years, you know, being, let's say by 2030, that 40% of the global workforce, not just the United States, but global workforce will be displaced by robots. And that's huge. So within a short period of time. And I've even read in papers to where, again, I used to work on the software side, so we would go into different companies and we would position what our software can do and how it could help to improve the bottom line with the companies. So I've read where some chief executive officers of companies are saying, okay, so you're in here now to tell me about what robots can do and how you could increase my profit. But what can I do to get rid of all employees so there's no employees whatsoever? And there's literally discussion within major corporations. And I'll give you an example, a tangible example, right? So if you work for Amazon, so Amazon obviously sells books, but, you know, they sell a lot of other things, but they're a technology company. And they have literally offered their employees, any employee, whether you're an office employee or warehouse employee, and excuse me, but I need to take another sip of water.
Oh, nothing wrong with that. Again, don't want you choking on the air.
Yeah, they've offered their employees $10,000 plus training so that they would quit Amazon. Hmm. Now, that's kind of strange when you think about it, that the company's saying, hey, we want you to quit. And Amazon, of course, is an extremely profitable company. But what they're doing is they're shoving off people as fast as possible. And what we're seeing is that these companies, whether it be Amazon or all the others, they're incorporating the technology that much faster. So what's happening is that robots are taking away jobs, and we also see that what's happening with the governments, such as with the more on the state side, I think that we'll see this more on the federal side, but they're starting to tax companies, and the way that they're taxing the companies is based upon the number of robots that they have. And this is where this projection, and it's not just me saying this. I mean, you'll find a lot of other people that says this. So what happens is that, or what the projection is that this universal basic income, which we've all probably heard about, is going to come into fruition because people aren't going to have jobs and they need money to buy things. Well, how do you get the money? Well, one of the ways, which we already have today, is that governments are starting to tax robots. As companies put in more robots, there'll be more tax. And so instead of people paying taxes to the government, the projection with a 40% displacement of the workforce is that the governments will be paying money to the people because they don't have jobs. So anyway, so we're seeing that already to where the robots are taking over jobs, and it's just accelerating.
Yeah. You know, it's fascinating when you think about it, because one of the things that I particularly pride myself in my 9-to-5 job that I do is that I help build relationships. But even in my 9-to-5, we deal in the housing industry, and there's always that push to close faster, get the reports in faster, get in faster, 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 because time is of the essence. And so what happens is that in my industry, I work in valuations for housing. And in my industry, the vendor sends a report out. So now they're changing that to a digital venue where basically the computer collects all this data and based off this data evaluates your house, which is fine, but no one actually went to the house. No one actually goes there. You just get this data and get it, whereas a vendor will actually go out, look at the house, look at pictures of the house, understand the neighborhood, and get different insights than what you can just get online. But a lot of the big major lenders are pushing for that because they want to close faster, because the faster you close, you can make money off of those transactions. So a lot of the technology that can be very evasive that can replace us is usually for profit, because if you can get rid of workers, you don't have sick pay, you don't have vacation pay, you don't have to worry about someone having arguments with each other, office politics. But I would propose, or suppose actually, that if you have robots developing a sense of consciousness, like a sense of consciousness like that, what will happen is that there will be a certain political thing going on with robots, because then if they do develop that consciousness without the emotionalism, then that is pretty much get rid of the CEOs. You know, what do I need you for? You know, so that I think that can backfire. Like you said one time on the show, you said how this one AI, said, tyrannical government or something like that, and they hurry up and shut that down. You know, who wants to have their own AI say something against them? You know, so we talked about this on the show as well, and so we talked about robots going into space. Now, mind you, I love space. I will probably never go because I like breathing, and I don't want to be on the maiden voyage of any spacecraft. I don't want to be on the second voyage. I don't want to be on the third, the 10th, the 15th. I don't know. I just probably don't want to go. I think I'll just enjoy from home. I think I just enjoy space from home. But at the same time, as we continue to probe our universe, because we're eaten by curiosity, we need things that's going to go into space for us. So on one hand, robots going into space is not a bad thing. We want to understand the world around us and the universe around us. God put that in us to constantly be curious about us, because the more we're curious, we begin to understand that so much of this is by his own handiwork. But You mentioned that robots are going to space. So talk about how that is a prediction we had and what it means for us today.
I think that that was an easy, one of the easy ones, because of the fact that, you know, a lot of people, not just me, but again, going back last year, I predicted that. And of course it was in the book, but what we didn't have until August the 22nd of 2019 is we didn't have to where a robot again would be self-sustaining, and then they would actually put it into space. So what happened is Russia, so again, you know, the United States is doing artificial intelligence, but we're not the only ones. We've got Russia, China, you know, and of course companies all around, and India, I should say, include them, where everybody's pushing artificial intelligence. So on August the 22nd, the first humanoid robonaut, and that's what they called it, robonaut, went into space, and it went off on the Russian Soyuz spacecraft, and it went up to the International Space Station. So that's already occurred. And now what we're going to see is we're going to see more of that. And the reason for that is because of the fact that obviously that in space is – we've all heard there's physical limitations, or what happens in space, you know, it hurts your bones and stuff such as that. Well, we don't have to worry about bones with robots, you know. So there'll be more of sending not only robots into space, but sending these robots which can walk and pick up things and see things, and they'll be going off over to other planets too, such as Mars.
And we all want to get to Mars. We definitely want to get to Mars because that's our neighbor. It's our girlfriend. You know, we've been fascinated with Mars for until when we probed the telescopes back in the 19th century. We probed and we were able to look at the surface of Mars, even though our telescopes were not as sophisticated as they are now. When we thought we saw tunnels and we thought we saw, like, landscapes of cities, oh, my gosh, we've got to go. You know, it's kind of like what happened with that. I can't help but think of John Carter. Because back in the day, especially in the 30s, science fiction, you know, you can just get to Mars by blinking, you know. I was like, wow, it was easier to travel back then, you know. So easy to travel back in the 1930s. Because, like, he blinked or fell asleep, and now I'm on Mars, you know. So, you know, we don't have to worry about space travel. We just think we'll get there. But, mind you, again, we see this profit. We see a very professional, positive thing to do. We can probe our universe through these things. So there's nothing wrong with it, essentially. There's nothing wrong with wanting a robot to go into space and, you know, check out the atmosphere, check out the planet, check out the asteroid. You know, I remember that one. Didn't it tip over, RD, that one? They calculated for 10 years and it landed on an asteroid. And I was like, yeah, and then it tipped over and fell. And I was just, like, dying of laughter. I'm sorry. I should not have laughed. But I was like, 10 years, how many miles? And it falls over, you know. And I just – and then when they took pictures of it, I said, you know what? That looks like a rock. And that's all I got. It looks like a rock. So, you know, even, like, some of the things that happened with, like, the black hole. I took a picture of the black hole. And we could probe the black hole. And I said, you know what it looks like? A black hole. You know, it's like
we
hit it on the spot, you know. So, you know, but it's nice to be able to do these things. So that's a positive for me. You know, I like sci-fi and science fiction and kind of probing the universe. That's kind of in my wheelhouse there. And so I love that type of thing. But if you were to completely be so dependent on artificial intelligence, what about your own? One thing that happens is that AI, we've mentioned this before, it actually distances us from each other. It distances us from that. You know, I was watching Indiana Jones, my grandmother, earlier today, and I like Indiana Jones, you know, the old ones. We like it because it's all about the adventure, the mystery. You know, he goes here and uncovers this, and he's got a whip, and he's, you know, hitting people with it. He puts his hat on, you know, all these things that represent that human ingenuity and curiosity, that voracious appetite to keep probing and probing, searching the mysteries of life and of history. If we were to totally put that on AI, what do we do with ourselves? We were meant to be curious. We were meant to probe our universe. We were meant to go and look at our Creator and worship Him because He didn't put us in a fishbowl, which sometimes I think would have been better. He didn't put us in a fishbowl. He put us in a galaxy, in the world we can probe. And instead of that, we atrophy ourselves. We atrophy our abilities. I think that's one of the biggest philosophical reasons of why we need to be aware of these things. But some more predictions that we have, because we're getting closer to our topic here, some more predictions that we had is that artificial intelligence would connect to robots. And most people, when they think of artificial intelligence, they think of robots because, like I said, Terminator. I mean, who wants to have a crazy guy you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, with a robot body coming at him, killing him. I mean, no one does. You know, no one. Because
right.
Unlike the movie, I die. You know, I mean, the movie would have been 5 minutes long. Kill Parker Coles. We're done. You know, you know, that's in the movie. You know, John Connor never comes to fruition at all. So go ahead and talk about how AI will connect with robot and go
yes.
a little bit deeper, because show us how that can be a negative for us.
So a couple things. So I think, again, most of your audience may have heard about 5G. So 5G is being rolled
yeah.
out in the United States, and of course there are some lawsuits. They're trying to stop that and so on. But specifically the reason why I bring up 5G is because it's the amount of bandwidth. It's the pushing of the communication that's going back and forth. So the robots, they don't have to be autonomous. They can be what's called semi-autonomous. That is that they're still getting information. So remember that with artificial intelligence, it's doing all the calculations, and it's saying it's passing information back and forth off over the robot. Well, again, this has already happened. So one of the things that I thought was interesting, it was back in May of this year. So again, that was a prediction, but again, in May of this year, Ford announced their delivery robot. And so what happens is that let's say that the packages need to be delivered. So the van drives itself. There's no driver
mm-hmm.
in it. And the back door, and again, you can find with your search engine, you know, just look in May of Ford delivery robot, and you'll find it. So the back door opens, and literally a two-legged robot comes out. It was actually powered by the van. Once it comes out, then it picks up packages that's supposed to be delivered off over to the door, walks, diverts, detours over obstacles, such as if there's balls or skateboards or whatever the case may be, and does the delivery. It's also interesting that, and I don't have the date, but it just happened here. I think it was with this last month, like August or something such as that, that Amazon did a large purchase of a electrical vehicle company called Rivian. And the reason why I mention that is because you're going to see on the roads, because their agreement with Rivian, and they might have even purchased them out, but it's like 100,000
mm-hmm.
Amazon
wow.
vans. So remember, Amazon is a technology company, and they're pushing what's called the last step, the last leg of the delivery. So you're going to see more and more robots that's walking the streets, and it's going to become commonplace in the very near future.
We did get a comment from Kathy from my blog, actually. Kathy sent us a comment. Kathy says, I got to listen to a few minutes of you and RD talk, and she says, hope to get back and listen to more. She says, AI is a huge concern. I learned a lot about it a few years back through a book I read about the RFID chip. And
yes.
Kathy, thank you so much for weighing in the conversation. And it's a good point she makes, because I remember Mythbusters
yes.
wanted to show the viewing audience a while ago how easy it was to hack an RFID chip, and the government
yes.
would not allow them to, and they
yes.
actually could not do the show. And I thought that was highly significant, because here is something we would really like to know. And I
yes.
guess the government were saying, well, no, you don't want people to know how to do it, but you kind of do, because if people can do it, you see what I'm saying? So if people can do
yes.
it, then we need to know how do we combat that. But if you don't want people to know, then how do you do that? So it's censoring information. And that's one thing I don't like, is when we censor information to the point where you can't be educated about what's going on. And if you don't have the accurate information, then how can you make the right decisions?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So that's why this is important. That's why, you know, journalism, if I can go on my soapbox for 2 seconds, needs to go back to being journalists and not sensationalists. You know, go ahead and give
right.
us the facts so we can make the appropriate discussion and have the appropriate conversation. You know, and then we did get a funny comment. We got a funny comment from Randy in Royal Oak, Michigan. He says, E.T. called looking for Elliot. And so, Randy, thank you so much for weighing in, even that humorous comment there, because it just kind of brings up the levity of what we're talking about here.
True.
So some more things you're going to talk about. We talked about, and this was something we talked about very recently in our last episode about AGI, about seeing is not believing. We discussed how there would be fake news, fake videos,
yes.
fake everything. And now here's the thing. This is important, because if you can't trust what your eyes are seeing, if you see, let's say, President Obama, like the one video you showed me for our last broadcast when we talked about AGI, it showed President Obama former President Obama swearing. And it was actually one of the guys from Key & Peele who was showing how AI can be manipulated. And
right.
It looked very real. It looked extreme. Like, you thought this was Obama senator swearing as a PSA, but he wasn't. But what if I didn't know that? What if I didn't know? Like, oh, my gosh, did you see what Obama did? He just cussed somebody out. Or did you see what Parker did? She was out there jumping off of planes, which you would know would not be me. Anyone who knows me knows. I take that back. I do want to go skydiving, but not for just once, not to make it a habit, you know, but or robbing a bank or running in a marathon. You know that's not Parker. I could run for my life. I cannot run a marathon. So it's one of those things. So anyway, but we talked about how AI will fake things.
Correct.
And so now let's talk about how this particular is huge cause for concern. Talk about that for us, RD.
Yeah, it's extremely big, and it's really, unfortunately, only going to get worse. And the reason why I say it will get worse is because there's a lot of nefarious people that have their own agendas that's occurring. So, again, this was predicted last year in the book that I have, but more specifically, it was August the 21st of this year. So what had happened is that MIT, they did a demonstration, and I was floored with it. So we talked about, just exactly like you said, Parker, that you can take a video and then you could do editing, and then, example, former President Barack Obama, and then you could make him say anything. Well, MIT now showed that, we'll call it these fake videos, or another term that your audience may find on the internet, it's called deep fakes. They can be done in real time now. So in other words, there is no editing that's required at all. So real time, the example that they gave is that a person was doing, he was a news broadcaster, and then he was talking about the fake videos, and then he would run over to the other side of the room and sit down, and immediately when he sat down, his face changed, in this case because he was doing a parody with Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, and he was talking in Russian, and then he would go back to the other side and do his. So it's real time now. And we have literally professors from major universities that have been, they're on record, and they've been on TV. They're saying within 6 months to a year, so that's certainly within the time frame of the next election, that nobody's going to be able, you won't have a tool that will be able to determine if the video is fake or not. And one of the things that I thought that was very interesting, and it's more not on the scientific side, but more on the psychology and the behavioral sciences side, is that what they found is that even if there are errors, an example to where today you could see the if they're crude errors, you might see that the blinking of the eyes is wrong, as an example. But that's going to change, right? So 6 months to a year, you're not going to even see that. But what they were saying is that when they were showing videos, that it's more on a psychological side, that based upon your your biasness, an example on the political side, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you can see if their eyes are blinking wrong or not. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't agree, for example, and we talked about Barack Obama. So if you don't agree with President Barack Obama when he's saying stuff and you're seeing that on the TV that he's swearing, and if you don't like him, then you're going to believe it. And that's really unfortunate, but that's the thing that we're going to be into. And we have, the term fake news, there's fake videos, there's fake everything. And you probably heard this, like, for example, and I don't do this because it's stupid. There's these, and I've seen them. You get on, I guess they call them message boards or blogs or something such as that, where people are talking. You don't know if it's a dog that's doing that talking, right? It could be a dog, but the reality of it is many, from what I've read, many of the comments are not even people. What they are is they're AI bots. So you don't know the video, you don't know like, for example, in speaking to you over the telephone, you know, the voice. So voices can be mimicked now. And so it's really a sad situation, but that's where we are. And my caution just is that please, you know, just stop and take a pause and, you know, don't get caught up in the emotion with this. Just determine, you know, I mean, just for a moment. You know, and that would save you a lot. I think it would save you from being embarrassed, unless you like to be, unless you don't care, and then you spread the news. But that's spreading the news, and that's also one of the AI problems is that today with the technology, you know, move from the news off over from the print, such as the newspapers, and it's going off over obviously to more technology, and you got. You know, even Facebook is picking this up, and Facebook now considers themselves a publisher. But what's happening is that it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. It's based upon the number of likes. And so if it's got the number of likes, and it comes up the highest in the search engines, and it goes on to people's news feeds, and that doesn't even make sense. But then people will propagate it. And the AI is actually AI. Well, people programming AI to do the fake videos and stuff such as that, that's actually pushing it. It's really sad, and that's what's happening.
And that becomes a problematic issue because you need the correct information to make the right decision. That's why this is so important. It's like if you have someone with nefarious plans, if I can use that term, with nefarious plans to control the masses and control information, then AI would be an extremely useful tool for that. And this is important because it can affect not just bigwigs or people in power. It can affect just little people like me. You know, I'm like, well, I could be sitting there minding my business, you know, eating marshmallows or whatever, and then someone has me eating, you know, the leg of a baby or something. You know, you look like eating marshmallows, you know, and you're sitting there going, well, Parker's a horrible person. I'm like, but that's not me. Then I'm like, well, it is me, but I wasn't eating the baby's leg. I was eating marshmallows, you know, something like that. So it's problematic. And that's why you have to be aware. And so we're coming to the end of part one of our topic. We're going to continue our discussion. Hopefully next week, RD and I have to come back. But we're going to discuss part two of our AI prophecies coming to fruition. So you can be informed. We want you to be informed. You need to be informed so you can know. Because we don't ever want the creation to be more powerful than the creator. And that will never happen. Honestly, goodness, that will never happen. No matter how sophisticated our technology gets, it will never be more powerful than the creator, who is the God of the Bible. It would never happen, you know. And that's why we have to be aware of these things so we can step in and say, hey, there's a certain limit to what we're going to do. And some people may think that we're being too, like I said, I think we're drinking the Kool-Aid, but we just proven to you that here we have predicted throughout this whole series on artificial general intelligence these things, and now they are coming to fruition. So what does that mean? Are we really drinking the Kool-Aid, or are we just aware of what's going on in the world today? And if we were the type of people who want to censor information, we would not be doing this show. You need to know. Just as a concerned citizen, as a believer, because you need to know that Satan uses whatever is out there to help keep us in our fallen state. If you can have digital sex robots that will keep you from intimacy with your wife or your husband, shouldn't that be something you combat against? If you can have someone lie and destroy someone's career because they created a fake video, shouldn't you be against that? If you can have someone use a child, let's say, and say that this robot child is more important than your own natural child, shouldn't you have some form of say in that? And you're thinking, okay, again, Parker and Artie, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. We're not. These are the small things that can lead to bigger things. It's not sci-fi. It could eventually become science fact. Artie, I would love for you to end with your thoughts on the topic for part one of our discussion of AI prophecies come to fruition.
Well, thank you so much again for having me. There's still a tremendous amount, as you've said, Parker, to discuss. And I'll just reiterate something that you said. There's nothing here that we're trying to do to scare anybody. All it is to highlight saying this is what's happening. There's other countries, specifically off over in the European Union, what they're doing, and maybe we can get into that in another time, to where they're starting to battle this. But here in the United States, we're lagging on it. And I think a reason why we're lagging on it is because of the fact that a lot of people just aren't aware of it. They're not aware of the technology because, you know, they don't work in the technology, right? So they just don't see it, maybe. But it's coming, and it's coming fast is what I'm saying.
And I think it's important that even if it's coming fast, we ask the Lord to guide us in our decision making. And I think the reason why a lot of people in the U.S. aren't aware of these things is because we're distracted by other things that don't have as much importance as something like this. And I think the biggest barrier is being distracted. You know, I was actually thinking of RD doing a show called Undistracted, and where we talk about this. I've been thinking about it a lot lately, so I don't know if it's going to come to fruition or not. But just like talk about like current topics and events that we're undistracted about. You know, like I think this is a very important topic, but some people laugh it off. Like, well, you're a writer, Parker, anyway. So this is actually, yeah, it does fall up my alley. I won't lie, it does fall up my alley. Okay, just as a writer, but at the same time, I don't want my AGI or artificial intelligence invading my privacy.
Correct.
I have to tell you, RD, the other day I'm getting in a new house. I'm moving. I'm getting a new house. And one of the houses I went to, they had cameras everywhere. And
yes.
I was worried about talking because the house was a certain thing. There was a problem with this particular house. And
yes.
If the house had recorded my conversation, how would I know? Because they had, I think it was Echo, one of them, Alexa Echo, one of those things in there, and I was staring at it, and it looked sinister to me. I was like, now that I know these things, it looks so sinister. And so actually, me and the inspector, who's the older gentleman, the inspector and I, we actually went outside the house to have a conversation about something about that house. It wasn't anything bad. We both were, he was like, let's just come out here and talk, you know, because there's cameras everywhere. Apparently, it can't, they don't want it voice activated, but how do I know? You see, how do I know? Because, you know, it could be voice acting. You say, oh, we turned it off, but we didn't. You see what I'm saying? So how do I know? So he actually came outside to talk about it. And that's evasive. I mean, how can you not? You know, privacy is a luxury, actually. You almost have to go into the ground somewhere and build a room down there to have a conversation that no one else can hear. So, yeah, so that's why these things are important. That's why these things are important. RD, Go ahead.
Well, and just to add to that on another show, people may be surprised about the things that Alexa has been able to pick up. It's in a way it's really sad, but in a way it's also scary, but it's an absolute fact. We can discuss that on another show. So.
Sure. I think we should, because do you want your conversations recorded? If you have a private conversation with someone, do you want to record it? I mean, there are laws against that now, but now artificial intelligence gets a free ride because artificial intelligence, you know what I'm saying? Come on. They were talking about that with, was it Alexa? Was it the iPhone? What's that girl's name? Siri? Was it her that was recording people's conversations? And I'm like, why are you recording my conversation? What? Why? No, I'm talking about groceries.
Both of them do.
Correct. It's like, why? So, yeah, so lots of more talk about this conversation. I hope you join us for the ride once again. RD, thank you again. And we will see you guys later. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show.